We're doing the Lashot HaRan. We're up to page Kuf Chaf Gimel in the Machon Shalem edition. Reish Pei Dalid in the Mosad HaRav Kook edition. Ukfiyah Nimtzam Midrash Shem Yesh LaRabotenu Zal Derech Acheret. The Ran had explained his position, Nachmanides' position. What does it mean that the leadership will remain within Judea? And now he's concluding the speech. He says, our sages have another interpretation on these verses. V'hiyan, it is as follows. Shizot HaAvtacha. This promise which Hashem says to the tribe of Yehuda, lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, the leadership will not leave Yehuda, lo tatchil rak acharei bi'at ha-goel. The Ran began with his and Nachmanides' position, which was to defend our interpretation of the verse versus the Christian interpretation of the verse. And when we learned the Ran, we stressed that the way that the Rishonim contended with challenges, be it Rashi, be it the Ramban, be it the Ran, was to take the Pasuk and analyze it logically and counter the claims using simple logic, using the text. But the conclusion is not that position. Meaning that position was used to counter attacks against us. Now after I've countered the text, you want to ask me, what do I really think the Pasuk means? So let me tell you what Chazal tell me. Let me tell you what my tradition is. To counter other people's claims, I'm not going to quote Chazal. I'll show you within the text why I don't accept it. But you want to ask me what do Chazal learn in the Pasuk? So Chazal say that this promise will only begin after the Messiah. It's not starting now. Yaakov Avinu, according to our tradition, was looking beyond the moment, was looking beyond to the great redemption. Yaakov calls in his children and says, let me tell you what will happen be'achrit hayamim, at the end of days. V'yavticheinu, and what Yaakov was promising us was, ki afalpi shetipasek ha-malchut mishivto bizman hazeh, even though the kingship will cease to be within the tribe of Judea in this time, achar biyat ha-mashiach lo tipasek mizro l'olam. There will come a time of the Mashiach, when the kingship will return to Yehuda, and then it won't leave again. V'yeh ad ki yavo shilo. And that will be until he reaches Shiloh. Kmo bizman sheyavo Shiloh. What does that mean? Ad ki yavo Shiloh. So the Ran says the words ad ki yavo Shiloh means it will only start when he comes to Shiloh. And the truth is that the Ran already proved two speeches ago that the word ad has two interpretations. The word ad could mean from now until that time, and that means that it will only be until then and not beyond that, or it could mean ad until and including that time onward. So then the words ad ki yavo Shiloh means until and beyond. V'ze muzkar b'Bereshit Rabba v'ilamdeinu, this interpretation that lo yasur shevet miyuda, there will be a period when the leadership will begin in Judea and not leave. And this period will be ad ki yavo Shiloh, until the time of Shiloh, and from then onward as well. And that's really when it won't leave. That's what he says based on Chazal. The Medrash says, lo yasur shevet miyuda, the staff will not leave Judea. Ze kisei malchut, that's talking about the throne. As the verse says, Kisacha Elokim Ad Olam, your throne is eternal, God's throne. And again, we view the king as sitting on God's throne, meaning God establishes a throne on earth and says, I'm not going to come down and smite people every time they do something wrong. The king's job is to be my representative, to bring justice to the world. If a person tries to steal from his fellow man, I don't want to get involved. For that you set up leaders. For that you set up a system. And that's why we view the king as sitting on God's throne, so to speak. We call the judges Elohim. Elohim could mean the forces up above, but Elohim could also mean the forces down below, representing the forces up above, in ensuring that there's justice down below. So, Lo Yasur Shevet Miyuda, the Midrash says, that is the throne. The throne of the king, as the verse says, Kisacha Elokim Ad Olam, Olam Vaed. Eimatai, when is this going to be so? Umchokek mi ben raglav. When the one who writes the laws will come out from between his feet. What does that mean? Kshiavo oto shekatuv bo. This all will happen when the person will come about whom the verse says, Beraglaim teramasna, ateret geut gibore. The verse says, with your feet you will trample the crown of the glory. What's the end of the pasuk? I want to make sure I remember correctly the end of the pasuk. Beraglaim teramasna, ateret geut. Shikorei Ephraim. That's what I thought. So we have to see how he interprets that pasuk. Let's see for a minute. Because the verse really describes that they will trample with their feet the crown of the glory of the drunkards of Israel. So that's the verse. It's not talking about that. That's why I wanted to look it up, make sure I remember it correctly. Beraglaim teramasna. Now, the simple reading of the verse is that he's not even talking about a Jewish king. He's talking about a non-Jewish king. The enemy will come and trample the haughtiness of the drunkards of Ephraim. That's the simple reading of the verse. So let's see how the Ran is going to learn it. The Ran says like this, Ein matay umchokek mi ben aglav. The Medrash says, when will we have the leadership cease to leave his feet? When he will come, the man about whom it says, he will trample with his feet the crown of the glory of the drunkards of Ephraim. Ad ki avo shilo, the verse says, till he comes to Shilo, kshiavo misha malchut shilo, Shilo, the Medrash learns, means Shelo, that the kingship is his. Shilo, velo yikehat amim, and to him the nations will gather, kshiavo misha makhesh inei kol umot olam. Who has to come? The one who will wear at the teeth of the kings of the nations of the world. They will put their hands to their mouth as their ears go deaf. So that's the Medrash. So again, the Medrash says, Lo yasul shevet miyuda, that's the throne. Umchokek mi ben raglav. Umchokek mi ben raglav, the leadership from his feet. That's talking about the feet that will trample the haughtiness of the drunkards of Ephraim. So that seems to be that that the Medrash is learning that that's part of the job of the Mashiach, to trample the haughtiness of the drunkards of Ephraim.
Who are the drunkards of
the simple reading of the verse is that we're talking about the drunkards in the period of the first temple, that people were spending their time getting drunk, and he's talking about the nobles who can afford to spend their time buying wine at the expense of the poor, and they walk around taking pride in themselves and taking very, very good care of themselves, including spending their time drinking wine. And then the Navi says, there's a strong spirit that's going to come out of Hashem. It's going to stream down and wipe away everything that's going on in the land. And with its feet, he will trample the haughtiness of these drunkards of Ephraim. And on that day, the Mashiach of Hashem will be the glory. He will take the glory of the people of Israel. So he will return justice. So one can read the verses, and that's the way the Targum learns, that it's talking about the period of the Mashiach. What I didn't understand is that the Ran or the Medrash Rabbah seems to learn that one of the jobs of the Mashiach is going to be to destroy the corrupt leaders of Israel. That's what comes out according to the Medrash Rabbah, that his job is not only going to be to take on the nations, his job is also going to be to take down the corrupt leaders of Israel, those that spend their time getting drunk. And that's how the Medrash is learning that the leadership will return to Yehuda. That means that one of his jobs will be to trample, to destroy the corrupt leaders of his time in Israel. And then the Medrash continues, Ad ki yavosh Shiloh, the kingdom will come back to him, to the Mashiach. V'lo yikat amim, and when they see this honest leader of Israel, the nation's teeth will wear away. So now that he finished quoting the Medrash, the Ran says, we've proved from their words that Chazal understood the promise to Yehuda as a promise that was yet to come. We find that Chazal also said a drasha on this pasuk. Ze Mashiach ben David shu'atid lirdot et amalchut. Shneimar teroem v'shevet barzel. That's talking about the Mashiach, the descendant of David, who will take control of aristocracy, of nobility. As the verse says, he will destroy them with his wooden, with his metal staff. Umchokek mi ben ragnav, the leadership, the authority will be from between his feet. Elu yoshevei ya'avetz. These are the people that are called yoshevei ya'avetz. The verse in Chronicles, in Divrei Hayomim, discusses the high court having being people called yoshevei ya'avetz, which is interesting because you know who yoshevei ya'avetz were? They were Gerim. They were descendants of Yisro, who went to learn and became the leaders of Israel. They became on the high sitting on the high court. So umchokek mi ben ragnav elu yoshevei ya'avetz. So that needs a little bit of work because they were learning under Osniel ben Kenaz. So Osniel ben Kenaz was a descendant of Yehuda. So it doesn't say ya'avetz, ya'avetz. It says ya'avetz was Osniel ben Kenaz. He prayed to Hashem to have good disciples. Yoshevei Ya'avetz, the simple reading is that that's the high court who were his disciples who were not descendants of Yehuda. On the contrary, they were converts. So that needs work. What's going on here? Umchokek mi ben ragnav. Unless he's learning that, unless the Medrash is learning that the term Ya'avetz became a term for the Sanhedrin. Meaning in Chronicles, Ya'avetz was the Sanhedrin which was composed of students who were converts. The converts or the descendants really of converts. They weren't really converts, but their descendants. Yisro, who converted his descendants, his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they were the ones on the high court. And it could be that the Medrash is using a borrowed term. That in Chronicles we find that the high court was called Yoshevei Ya'avetz. So even though technically, Yoshevei Ya'avetz at that time were descendants of Yisro, and they were not the tribe of Yehuda. Later on, I guess the Medrash is using the terminology as a general term for the high court. Ad ki avo shilo, shatidin kol umot olam lavidoron lemeshech ben David, shneemar, v'yom ahu yuval shai l'shem tzvakot. Ad ki avo shilo is a reference to the concept that in the future, shilo, is two words together. Shai, lo. Shai, a gift, lo, to him. That all the nations will bring gifts to him. So again, the Ran concludes with the Medrash. He says, in pshat, I'm willing to take them on and give you my pshat. You want to know on a deeper level of interpretation what our tradition is? Well, our tradition is that it's talking about a much future time. That's something I can't argue. Against the nations, I have to deal with pshat, and that I did. You want to know our tradition on a deeper level? It's bichlal talking about the time of Mashiach. And this is explicit in numerous places that in the days of the Mashiach, all the nations will admit that Hashem is the one running the show. And that's what the prophet promises. On that day, Hashem and His name will be singular. What that means is Hashem's name is singular. Every nation says, I'm praying to God. Right? Everyone claims, in God we trust. Yeah, which God? Zulati shem cholkim beikar elokut. So his name is one, but he isn't one. We use the same name, but we're not talking about the same one. Nimtza sheshmo echad. So today his name is singular. Aval hu einu echad b'fi hakol. But we're not all talking about the same one. Uvachrit hayamim yitbonenu bo. And at the end of time, people will look at him. Vehu yiyeh echad. Kmo sheshmo achshav echad. And just as today, everyone says we pray to God. And in those days we will all pray to the same God, who Amro, as the verse says, "Valu Moshim Baltzion Shpot Et Arisa Vaital Hashem Amlucha." As the redeemers go up Mount Zion to judge, to punish Mount Esav, Hashem's kingship will Hashem will have the throne. V'umro, and that's what the verse says. V'ya Hashem leMelech al Kol Haaretz. Hashem will be king over all of the land. V'yomu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. On that day, Hashem will be one, and His name will be one. I felt this most when I was traveling in Chicago's O'Hare Airport. They have a room for prayer and meditation. So they have over there where the Muslim can spread out his mat, and the Christian can do his prayer, and the Jew can do his prayer, and other people can come and meditate. So I was wondering if it's better to pray in there or out of there. But I couldn't bring myself to go in there to pray. Yeah, everyone's praying to God. The question is, what do you call God? So that's what will ultimately be Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that just as we will use the same name, we'll be talking about Hashem.